podcast. KellerKellerOfficial.com.
You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the App Store for free today.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Killer Keller Podcast live and direct, central London, or as central as you need to be. You don't want to be anywhere else, why would you? Don't put yourself through that kind of pain. This is where all the action is. Big shout out to graffitikings.co.uk. Do this thing so it doesn't blow up everywhere. And anyone's got a television app as well. Sharing is caring, man. Don't be sleeping on this. We don't do this for our health. We want to make sure that everyone's getting a dose of the daily street culture. So, yeah, sharing is caring. Get on that television app as well. Free download. Well, we have a guest inside the place, man. Without question, one of the purveyors of what has become the culture. An intricate part of the tapestry, shall we say. West London. We're talking TDS. We're talking. We're talking Hooch. We're talking Ambush. We are talking to Baps inside the place. What are we saying?
It's happening, bro. It's happening, mate.
You see, you notice how I casually kind of slipped them things as
we. I know, man. But listen, it's there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's there. So.
It's there and it's in existence. Yeah. And something to very much be proud of. What a legacy. A legacy holder. A legacy holder, I think, is the right terminology, because I know you feel very strong about the legends and the kings and the aforementioned quotables that people like to throw around. To my admittance, throw around. But I know you feel very strongly about that.
You know what, I think, as you said, certain words get thrown around quite easily, and, you know, I don't get it. Graph's a game, mm-hmm. really, and we're all part of this sort of jigsaw, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's how you look at it, really. It's how, you know, everyone has their own opinion, I have mine, mm-hmm. you know, I feel quite strong about it, mm-hmm. I ain't gonna lie, I feel strong about it, but... You know, some people just don't want to really talk about it and just say, yeah, this person, that person. Mm. You know, think about it, man. If that's the case, then there's so many kings out there, man.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So many is that.
Mm.
Boy,
you're a contender, man. And you know what I mean? Like, well, do you mean it in the sense of like, well, times are different. To use those words the way that you would, times are different. And if you're out there and doing it, that should be the most important thing.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. Mm. I think once you're out there, you're doing it, you have a time scale. Mm. I believe you've got a time scale. There are certain people out there are still doing the same thing, still smashing it, you know what I mean? But I feel that there are certain people that deserve certain labels.
Mm.
You 100% deserve certain labels. And, you know, it's a case of keeping that to a minimum,
mm.
you know what I mean? Otherwise, you know, say there's thousands of people graphing.
Because you dilute the intention of the word.
Yeah, 100%. You know, people call me a legend and I'm like, yeah, listen, I've done my bit.
Mm.
And that's how I look at it, I've done my bit. You know, I've been around for, you know, 30 years now.
He does so. His bit, by the way. Jesus Christ.
But, you know, it's doing that bit, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I've been around for a while, but some people call me a legend.
Mm.
Nah, I think I'm just someone who painted a few trains back in the day, and now I paint walls. I strictly paint walls now. Yeah, I'd love to do a train. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's if anyone gets to that stage and it, you know, they go through that and they say, nah, they're lying to you, man.
Right.
It's inside them,
okay.
man. It's inside them. If they've done that, if they've been down that path, they've done it. Yeah, it's still going to be in here.
The mental attitude to it, the...
Yeah. 100%. That mental, it's in here. Like, yeah, you look at a train. Like I said to you earlier, bro, you know, I come a certain way today to get here.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, let me drop on the central line. And I see two whole cars roll past me and that. And it was like, what? That was just like, whoa. Wow.
Central line, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that was your stomping. Like, when I think of you, I do think central line. That was your thing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That was me, central line. I love the central line, man.
Ruslip.
Yeah.
West Ruslip.
West Ruslip. White Sea, the East Side Yards, which I've never done too often, but Rice Dip, it was like, you know, like a second home.
Must have blown your mind when you saw those trains rolling into.
It did. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I could have been late coming up here today because I was thinking, you know what? I went on the other platform. I was like, I wonder where that train went. Is it Rice Dip or Ealing Broadway? Should I wait here? Should I travel down there? And I thought, nah, let me get. I'm on a journey, man.
Yeah. Hey, there's only one place you need to be on.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it's
on
coming
a Thursday to. Morning. There's only one place you need to be. That's incredible, though. That's incredible. And how ironic.
Exactly. I made that choice. I could have gone another direction, and I made that choice, and that's what I see. And it was just like, wicked, wicked. Good to see.
Listen, we're going to get into some stuff. We have to when we're talking of such. History and reference points, and I think there's some DNA to be discovered. You were orbiting in and around all of these moments in graph. That
you know what? I've been fortunate. Yeah, I gotta lie. I've been proper fortunate to like be around, sort of, even from toy status. Yeah, from toy status.
You're not afraid to say before we started. We had a little chat. You're not afraid to. Admit to the fact that you've got to be a toy to begin with. There is no getting away.
Everyone started as a toy. Everyone. Whoever said they started at this level, no, everyone started as a toy. Straight up, simple as that. You got to start somewhere, and everyone started there. It's how you sort of transitioned from that into, you know, eventually finding yourself and getting yourself a status. That's the sort of the movement forward. You know what I mean? But we all started as a toy. You know, and I said, I've been fortunate that sort of growing up, the areas I grew up in, I had certain names around me and, you know, certain people and knowing about a certain scene without actually being in the graph scene. So I was lucky, you know, and then...
How'd you get yourself into that position?
Just where I grew up.
Really?
Yeah, that's all it was. It's where I grew up.
So North Holt was the place of growing up. That was...
Yeah. Yeah.
So what other writers were orbiting around at that point?
The names that stuck out for me 100% was Set Free and Huzz. They're the two names that were like out there, proper out there. There were others, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, check out rockinthecity.com as well. I've got to big them up, man. Some of the names that they're just aforementioned and more, Roy, like you wouldn't... It's just so... It's rare to find... those names circulating.
People don't know. They've done a lot. They've probably done a lot more than I actually know about.
Yeah.
But
a lot of people know about neither.
Yeah. About out of the two, though, Set Free was the one, man. And as people know, you know, he was... I'm going to say, he was a king. If people deserve certain statuses, that man there was a king. And, just that Set Free throughout, man. Even how that evolved, you know what I mean?
Evolved as well. It did as well.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's... Matters massive. That's that Set Free, Bosch, bam, there you go. It was there, man. And like, I used to see that and just think wicked, absolutely wicked.
One thing, I mean, we're talking to someone 3 decades here in writing. So when we, let's get into this. There was a period in graph, and you can see it on certain websites, as mentioned, that the transformation of skill sets was almost like a huge jump. I mean, when you say about Set Free and how he, that development, you really see it from mid to late 80s, there was this kind of touchy-feely, okay, getting a grips with this. And all of a sudden, late 80s into the 90s, was
it changed. The style changed. I think the whole sort of foundations of graph changed in a way where you've had certain people, like, you know, as I said to you earlier, like the Big Met. I knew about the Big Met without actually being on it, just through where I live. And it was weird, like that transition of seeing certain things and people being hardcore to like, I don't know. I think maybe for me, because I ended up branching out and seeing lots of other stuff. And it kind of just blew me away, like, you know. So I kind of see that transition. And again, for me, I was never really someone that just wanted to just have a name. You know, I think from early, you know, from, you know, sort of mid-80s, let me just get this out of there, I was always into graph, from the mid-80s, 87, I actually got arrested in 87 for doing one tag, but again, toy status, a toy then.
One tag, the first time you had a can or something?
Probably not the first time I had a can, but it was the first time I've probably done something, a legal tag somewhere.
Right.
Got straight up bang, got bagged for that. Yeah, and it was just like, shit, you know, can of yellow. Never used yellow again for about 4 years. You know what I mean? But again, it was weird. Like,
so he embedded like in his psyche.
Yeah,
like,
nah, not touching that, man. Not colour. Touching that ghost colour for me, that was.
Yeah, ghost colour.
But, you know, it was like, yeah, I didn't know. I didn't, even though I knew people and was around from a certain era, I wasn't in graph. I was into graph, but I wasn't in it. So it was kind of getting that transition from being nobody into someone was a massive thing. But it's like you don't just sort of say, right, today I'm going to be a graph writer and be out there. It just happened.
That's mad. So you were just like, all of a sudden it grew into you.
Yeah. Something, I know what it was, that sort of meeting certain people and then all of a sudden you're like, wow. Just like bosh, and then before you know it, it's just a whoop. You know, you was here.
Whoa.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, like being on an ice rink and that, and the one minute you're standing still, someone pushes you in the back, and then you're over here.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah,
it
yeah.
was like.
Oh my God, that's so good.
You know what I mean? And it was like, wow, you know, I used to paint. I probably done my first piece in about 88. Again, toy status.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Done a couple of things, then, you know, met a couple of people who was all doing the same sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, they met one guy, it was a northern guy. Remember the first time I met him? Didn't understand a word he said. Next day.
Big up my northern crew, by the way. That
yeah,
was...
yeah. No disrespect, man. No,
well,
no,
yeah. Certainly not. Yeah. Don't need any subtitles for that. That was just his impression. Yeah.
No disrespect, man. But it was like, I met this guy the next day. And I remember I was at Norfolk Station. And I was just jumped on the train. And I looked out and I see the same guy. And I was like, bit of sign language kind of went on, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
wait here. So I come back on the next train. And the rest is history, bro. The rest is history.
Who was that writer?
Error. I met Error, man. It was like, I don't know. He was like a mad influence, man.
You like were like double-headed dragon business.
Yeah, people can tell you, man. It was just, so I've been told, we went from nothing to being known. It was like double trouble.
Mm.
Bam, there we go.
I love those combos. I love them.
Yeah. They work, man. They work. You know, and it was just like error bap. Just like that, boss, straight out there. You know, and we went from nothing to just being up and being recognised within a very short space of time.
How many times were you going out painting?
It was like every day, man.
Really?
It was like every day. Every single day. We God knows how we met up, because there weren't no phones back then. It's just like probably the day before, yeah, we'll be here at this time.
Yeah,
and then we just meet up, we go, we travel around sort of northwest, you know, going out, acquiring paint, you know. And then, yeah, next thing you know, we were on it. You know, we was out there, track sides. You know, the trains really hadn't started just then. But we started doing track sides and then insides. And next thing I know, we're in a yacht.
So it's a real succession of events, the chain of events.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Massively, man. We started, it happened so quick. I couldn't even tell you how quick it happened, but it happened quick. And it was like amazing, man.
At this point, I must add, you know, do not try this at home. You know what I mean? In hindsight. It's not condoned. We're merely documenting. Because, you know, and we talk about this on the podcast a lot, how circumstances are changed and are different. But there's different things that come into play, different problems to solve and crack. So where you could easily get over a fence, that too means that the safety overall isn't really considered.
It was easy. You know, they were fences back then, but, you know, again, we'll probably crack on with this a bit later, but you know what I was saying earlier about like the grass and then treading down grass. Fences are already broken down. Holes are already in fences. So it was like the guys that had travelled the path before us had already set the way.
The tone.
You know what I mean?
The level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this, you know, the gates and things are already open for us. So yeah, when we first went, it was like, yeah, splash down here, up that bit there, through that little hole in the fence, which probably by about a couple of months later was a lot bigger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you're there. You know what I mean? It was already there. And I remember the first time, West Rye Slip?
Yeah.
All nighter. Again, do you imagine? I've gone from toy status into the next thing, we're standing there looking at trains. and it was like, shit, this is going down, man. This is happening.
Tell me about that feeling when you're seeing the train and it's full, kind of, in its environment.
You know, I think people, unless you've been there, people don't understand.
Right.
Yeah, there's a certain, there's an atmosphere. Mm. There's a proper atmosphere. There's a smell in the air.
What's the smell?
I can't even describe it, man. If you've been there, you know.
Is it like an old English kind of...
It's not, man. I can't even explain it. If you've been there, you know. It's just there's an atmosphere, there's a smell. For me, the air was kind of like dense. You know what I mean? Mm. There's like a dense feeling. It was just sort of... It may have been cold that night, but the adrenaline started kicking in, so everything got close.
So you don't feel anything?
You don't feel nothing, man. You just sort of... Maybe the first time, a few times, you're there and you're like, okay, yeah, we're waiting.
What's it like when you put the first spray to the... I want to know, what's it like?
It's a buzz, man. It's a proper buzz.
You're doing it and it's...
Yeah. It's slow. Everything kind of stops. You know, all of a sudden this hyper-vigilant thing comes about you. You know, you know, the thing is though, really sort of grown into it, you know people can't see you.
Hmm.
Wherever you are. Mm. Whether that person's like that way, yeah, they can't see you. And they're not going to catch you from like 8 carriages down.
No, because it's too distant.
Yeah, too distant. You can walk out of there and they ain't going to catch you. So, you know, being there and then throwing up that first tag on a train, it was a buzz. It was a proper, proper buzz. You know, I could even tell you, I had a green smooth right and it come out pencil thin. It's just like, yeah, done a couple of tags. And I was like, I wanted to bounce from then. I was just like, yeah, time to go. And it...
I've left
scent.
I want to go now.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I've marked my territory now.
I've done this now. All right, come on.
I want to go. I want to go. And it was just like, what are you talking about, man? We're here now.
Yeah,
This is it. We're going to do our thing.
Technically, you're already in the shit.
Yeah.
So you might as well.
Yeah, go full out.
Sit on the pot.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we've done.
Yeah.
We bombed the hell out of it till, I don't know, what, paint run out. Then we left. You know what I mean? And it was like, got out there. And it was like, wicked. Yeah, I like this. I like this, yeah. We want some more of this, you know what I mean?
And again, this is a legal activity. We don't get involved in this on this podcast. But
do not do that, children.
Yes, exactly. But what a grip.
Yeah, he was hooked. Hooked by then, 100% hooked. You know, you can't, once you've done that, you know, you can't sort of look back and think, yeah, I've done it now, that's me, I've achieved something. Because it didn't even... That didn't come into it. It was about, yeah, you started getting your name. You're starting to climb the ladder, shall we say.
Mm.
You know, yeah, you was here, you was toy. You was toy for a few years. But now you started climbing that ladder and like you hit steel now. Yeah, what's the next step?
Mm.
You put your name on a bit of steel. What's the next step? How do you keep going up? And I think from there, it was like, I want to hit more steel. But now I want to put... my name on that, not just a tag. I want to put my name, and we're getting bigger now, and that's how it slowly moved forward.
Mm.
Well, I'll say slowly.
Mm.
Be quite honest, it moved forward pretty sharpish.
Hypervigilant. You said hypervigilant. I think, or I said it, but people don't necessarily see you unless they want to see you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. That's a social statement, by the way. You can be totally out of the way, but yet be in people's faces. Isn't that strange?
Yeah, oh, it's a beautiful thing.
That's a graph thing, isn't it, as well? Yeah.
You're being seen without being seen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a beautiful thing. When you sort of look back on it, you think, you know, I've done this and, you know, my name travelled around from one end of the central line or whatever line you've done to the other end and back.
Mm.
And thousands of people have seen that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like...
It's the course of a day. It's a lot, isn't
it? And people are looking at it and you don't know what they're thinking. Like bloody vandals or whatever, but for us it was just like, yeah, my name's up there, it's gone about.
Mm.
You know, and again, we didn't think about it. We just, if we got photos, because, you know, back then there were no camera phones, you know, just about, you're lucky if you had a camera. So, you know, certain things got documented, certain things didn't, you know, but...
But did that matter in the grand scheme of things? Probably not, because if you've got your work rate up...
I think at the beginning it didn't matter.
Right.
But after, you know, a couple of times and... You know, say painting with error and that, it was like, yeah, I want to document this, man. It's like, oh yeah, I done a train last night. yeah, where is it?
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? So now we, we started to like hook up with people who actually had a camera. You know what I mean? So certain people would come in yard with us who had a camera.
Had the Kodak connection.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. There was someone. There was someone. Well, we wrecked a camera from somewhere. We ended up with what we had. So yeah, things started. I say you wasn't thinking about documenting stuff as such, not to sort of a degree where we're at now. It was just about, I got a picture of my piece. You know, people can say over the years, you know, doing track size, but then when someone sends me a picture of something that I don't even remember doing of a track side, you're like, wow, okay, someone's actually documented that back then. Someone's had the thought to go, right, I want a picture of that. You know what I mean? And yeah, when I get that, it was like, shit, did I do that? Damn, you know what I mean? But that's
what it was. Do you surprise yourself sometimes when someone pulls out like an old school, like, when did I do that? How did that happen?
Yeah, you know, you start thinking back and I was like, who was I with? Oh, damn, yeah, they were there. Shit, yeah, you know what I mean? It was real, man. It was real. So it's nice, you know, like a certain night we done, and I only ever saw one picture of a train that I'd done for over 25 years. And I think a couple of years ago, someone sent me a picture of this same train. I'd never seen it. Never seen any other picture of this train.
Oh, my God.
25 years later, and I'm like, yeah, that was dope. That was dope to see it. We just got a completely different angle. It was running. The rest of the train was battered. That was so nice to see, man.
I have so much respect for people that hold that. It's almost like a little light of...
It's a little gem, isn't it?
Little gem.
Yeah. There you go. I've had this for 25 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, have this. Yeah. As if you've always had it and you've not had it neither. Yeah. What was Era like as a... What was Era like as a person? I mean, because, you know, You're a lovely guy, and I'm trying to work out that, because there's got to be some sort of electricity that went down to... What was he like as a person?
He was a good guy, man.
Yeah.
And anyone that's met that man there, they would say he was like 100% graph. He was 100% graph. No two ways about it. He wanted to be up everywhere he went. And I'll say everyone would say the same. I think anyone can tell me any different, but he was graph through and through. You know, again, I can tell you the time we was in Acton. We had done our thing in there, so I pieced it up. And he'd gone walk about, come back to him and said, yeah, there's someone in the train around there. But he still wanted to get a reach.
Even though there was someone in
there? Yeah, he went around there, got a reach. Next thing you know, the horn's going. You know what I mean? But he was 100% graph. Anyone who met him after I started painting with him in London will tell you the same. He was 100%, man.
Being Northern... And again, this is maybe a slight generalisation, but there is this... I think it's because they're not in the network of London and growing up and being privy to it, because I'm certainly, being from outside of London, I just attacked things a little differently because I wanted to validate myself in the situation and also the purist in me, because I wasn't... And I had to earn the right to be. I just attacked it differently. Do you think there's a level of that?
He just attacked it full stop.
Right.
It's as simple as that, man. He was like bam, bam, bam. He didn't care.
Yeah.
He was grep.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously I found out a lot of things after, you know, about him from where he was from. You know what I mean? And it was like, this guy's a machine, man. He's a machine. You know what I mean? It was like, I met him and I went from toy status. It was like, bang, next level straight away.
Really?
Straight away, yeah. Within months. Not even a lot of months, 2 months.
Some people are just like conduits for like, just, assertive, like proactive, go get it behavior, isn't it?
Yeah, he was on it. You know what I mean? We can all sit here and say, yeah, a certain man were on it. He was on it.
Really?
You know what I mean? I can't even explain how it was like. I say when I just got swept up, it was like, yeah, you're coming with me. Didn't even have to say that. It was just like, this is what we're doing, boss. We're there, and this is what we've done. We went racking one Sunday, and then next thing I know, from going racking, we actually met a couple of people racking. Next thing I know, I'm in Golders.
Really?
Sunday afternoon, yeah. bam, straight away, we was there. You know, that's how crazy it was. It's just like, yeah, met these guys and said, they mentioned Golders and it weren't far away.
Yeah.
We was there, we was there. In there, everyone remembers that fence down the bottom of Golders. I just remember Eros swinging about on the top of that, you know what I mean? Bang, we was in there. We've done our thing. Sunday afternoon.
West London. Tell me about West London back back in the day. Let's get into that, you know.
What part of West?
I think, I mean, we've covered some bases, like, we, you know, big up Scam and a podcast, big up all the heads that have been down. But I think from your era and of the time, there'll be different kind of paths trod, different kind of areas that maybe we haven't cut. I mean, again, you were so proficient on the central line, and the way that you describe it, even prior to this being switched on, you know, insides, outsides, track sides, you know, even those, conversating with you, people don't talk about those things so definitively. So let's get into the West London side of things that was predominantly your patches.
Well, you know what? I can only really talk about where I was from, and I was kind of like, we're talking about the west end of the central line.
Yeah.
I was sort of on the west end of the central line. So that was just me. I, for some reason, the Piccadilly line was actually closer to where
really?
I lived.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
The Piccadilly line, but I don't know, the central line had something about it. It was more gritty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we that was the chosen line as such.
Mm.
And, yeah, I said, I was with a few boys from my end, and we done our thing. We, you know, bits of bombing, bits of few outsides. Mm. But then I said, I'm an error. And then that transformed from that moving on to going wherever.
Mm.
But I kind of, it was like a homing pigeon, you know what I mean? Mm. I always went back and done the central, the West End of Central.
Mm-hmm.
But so I didn't really know, just starting out, I didn't really know certain heads. I'd seen names, you know what I mean? Yeah, Big Up Mean, you know, the SBS crew. Mm. I remember that. And I think I might, if Mean actually remembers, I met him in about 89. But again, Toy, and I was up here. Mm. I'm sorry, the other way around. I was here, Mean was up here. He was already a name,
mm-hmm.
and I was still here. So I was nothing then.
Wow.
You know, so... Mm. It was weird, like, you know, years later when I'm seeing this guy, and it was like, yeah, me and him, you know, I had a conversation with him quite recently, and you know, we've got like an appreciation, you know, we appreciate each other, you know, like a mad respect for each other, which, you know, is wicked. But I said, I used to like look up to these guys, and I still do,
in
a mad kind of way, because it's just like they were names before I even sort of started out, and you know, to me, there was West London.
Mm.
You know, I'd say I didn't know about certain other people. There's people out there that had done a lot of stuff before I even knew. Yeah, so I'm looking at names thinking, oh, yeah, these names are out there.
Yeah.
But I never knew what they had done behind the scenes.
Mm.
So
you weren't, it wasn't like you were in the mix of the West London scene or North West London scene like that?
No, I wasn't. No.
But it does seem to me that it was a bit of a calling in that you kind of, you folded into the system. Like you say, it was already in and around you.
Yeah.
It was almost like inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? It was like we done our bit and we got up a lot in a very short space of time.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, we, you know, we started meeting people. Like there was a time very early 90s, we went racking at South Ealing. And I remember we walked in there and there was like loads of like, I'll say they were youngest to us. We were probably all about the same age. But me and Errol was like two big guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked in there and it was like, there was these guys just running around. And I found out later on that they thought we was like BTP or something, or police. Because we was always big.
Yeah.
But what happened is that we kind of went in there, went straight to the paint. And they were seeing us. And then it's like, hey, are you right? And it was like, yeah. You know, it's Errol and Bap. And it's like, oh yeah, save. But I spoke to Tuba.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tuba. Yes.
Yeah, KTC.
Yeah,
man.
Come on.
And like, he was like, yeah, we thought you was like 5-0, man. That's it was hilarious. Madness. He thought you was 5-0. But yeah, from that, again, that was one of them days. So I'm saying you meet people, you get swept up.
Mm.
And that's exactly what happened. We got swept up. I think Diet was there, Psych. There was quite a few heads there.
Wow.
And next thing we linked them. Next thing we're traveling around wherever we went.
It's like a portal you suddenly just like.
Yeah. Telling you, man, it was weird, but it was great.
Mm.
It was absolutely great. You know, you just end up doing stuff that a couple of months ago I would never have thought about doing, or being places or doing.
Give me some
things.
More examples of how you know, those out of body moments of where you were with people. I mean, you're dropping some heavy names right now, Like, give me some wildest dream moments that you talk about here.
Wildest dream? Oh,
you know, God. Like where you're just like, fuck, like what the, what am I doing here? How the fuck did I get there? What am I doing here with you? That kind of thing. Give me something like that. You're just like, this is,
you know, bonkers. What? I'll tell you what, it was mad, right? I'll tell you one person who I always had a lot of respect for, and I've still got a lot of respect for, his diet, yeah? I kid you not, it was like, there was times we'd be on a train, we'll go somewhere, you know, you, as a writer, you're always looking out. I remember going down to Richmond or something one day, and like, we went down, we come back, and it was like, that diet that weren't there, like when we went down, you know what I mean? It was mad. You know what, I can't even really explain them kind of moments, because they will probably come to me as we're talking, so I might throw one in like about 20 minutes time and that. Show, but yeah, it was just meeting people, and then before you know it, you're in a yard or you're doing this, you're doing that. You're at the other side of London. It's like, oh, I set out to be here. Now I'm over here. You know, so everything just happened without any planning. It's very rare that you plan stuff. And when you do, as writers know, writers are so unreliable. Yeah, writers are proper unreliable. Like, you know, I think the maddest time in Ryslip, there was, again, early days, arranged to go with some writers from West.
Or late 80s, we're talking about?
Nah, this is probably early 90s. Early 90s again. Well, yeah. You know, we arranged to go Ryslip from some guys from West. Yeah, we meet so-and-so spot. None of them turned up. None of them. Which was just like, all right, don't really care. It's me and Era, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're there. Yeah.
So me and Era bops up to the yard, through the hole in the fence, which by this time has got a lot bigger, up the banking. And then we sort of got there, and it was like, we looked, just started looking into the yard, and it was like, there was like 20, 30 people in there. It was madness. It was like...
writers?
Yeah, you can imagine, right? Everything was just me and him. Everything we'd done, it was just me and Era, me and Era. And then all of a sudden, we've gone to a yard to meet people that we knew who weren't even there. To find the yard, there's like 20, 30 people in there.
Fucking, that's mad.
You know what I mean? And it was like, okay, this is something else. And I used to get really anxious before I went yard anyway, didn't matter where we went.
Bro, I've seen raves. Like, I mean, you're a little short of like, that's a protest group.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
A lot of people.
Yeah. It was like mad rebellion, man. It was like, hold up. We were thinking about, you know, five people, six people or so.
Yeah.
And we've gone there, and we're looking into the yard for about 5 minutes, watching all this madness go on, because it was like everyone was just running around, hitting everything.
It's a war zone.
It was. The two trains on the outside were cane. They were proper murdered up. And, they are, you know, I could see people up that end,
yeah.
People climbing through the train. And we sat there and we was like, you know, fuck it. Let's go in, man. Let's go in. So we decided, we come down the bank and started walking in. And a few heads see us now, so it was like, okay. Again, we're both big guys. And we're walking into the yard, and kind of everything for them who's in there has kind of stopped. Now, we've got guys turning around, walking towards us. They got bats, they got chains, they got all kinds of... Not all of them, don't get me wrong. There were certain heads. And we got there, we got a bit closer, like, and we was like, okay, this might not go too well, like, you know what I mean? They don't know us, we don't know them. And then all of a sudden, a voice came out and said, are you back? I was like, yeah. And it was like, in a way, it was like, yeah, come on in, bro.
Come on in, join the
party. And that's literally what it was. That's literally what it was, yeah. Big up Ebbs, yeah.
Mm.
And that's literally what it was, is that we just needed that one person to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, yeah, we joined that. And again, madness.
At this point, I just like to big up Leon as well and hold tight, people with documents as well, because the connect is real. My boy Leon, fucking great, and mutual friend.
Yes, big up Leon.
Yeah, all day. Fuck. I mean, you talk so candidly about this as if it was like the other day, but...
You don't lose their memories.
You don't lose their memories, man.
It feels like yesterday. Just it's like 30-odd years ago now, man. 30 years, 31 years.
Isn't the world in the mind of us? It's a weird one, isn't it? Like, as you grow older, the timelines... And it just goes back to something that you were saying at the beginning. It's like kings, legends, da 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 da. But the timeline should be, and that's what I try and promote on the podcast. It's like it doesn't matter the age range and everything. It doesn't matter because the stories they hold weight in any era at any time.
Yeah,
because it's so important, isn't it?
Definitely. Like, it's hard to explain. You know, you say, people say talk about Kings, this, that, and the other. But as I said, I for me, Kings, Legends, whatever, I was part of something. Mm. And I'm grateful that I was part of that. There's not one part of me that says, yeah, you know what, I hate that. Mm. There's not one part. You know, I'm glad that I was there. I met people along the way, mm. you know, good friends. And, you know, listen, people show you respect, yeah? Mm. And...
They do,
you know,
indeed.
And, you know, I'm kind of humbled by that because I said all I think yeah. about is like, you know what? I've done a few trains, done a few track sides, you know, and, you know, I was part of that game. I was not even, it's not even a puzzle. It's like I was part of that game,
mm.
you know, which the game's just going to go on forever. You know what I mean? The mm. game's never going to stop.
No, it's not.
It's never going to stop. Graph will never stop.
It won't.
No, it doesn't matter how you look at it. I thought it was hot back in like 91, 92. Mm. Yeah. All these years later, same shit still getting done.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to stop. People just got to evolve and carry on doing what they're doing. Mm. I'm not promoting illegal activity,
no,
by the way.
No. Mm. No. But, not here.
You know, but that's what it's about.
Mm.
You know, and it was the same for us, you know, and the same for the years, you know, before us and the years after,
mm.
where, you know, when Fenty started coming into it, you had to evolve. It's like you go over, round it, or through it. You know, so everything's an evolvement.
Mm. In terms of the artwork itself, because you take your colorways, your schemes, you take everything to the wire. Back then, particularly with the people that were around, what was the most useful bit of information that you learned from piecing? Like, what's the most, think there's something that you really took with you, and it doesn't matter whether the paint gets worse or better, doesn't matter. What's the main key element in graph that you could say has held true?
Definitely.
Cool, that's a good one, isn't it?
Oh, that is. That's a big question. But yeah. You know what, for me, you know, I can't speak for anyone else, but for me, it's always been about getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Always been about getting good, you know, doing what I do.
Mm.
You know, because at the end of the day, it's self-promotion, isn't it?
Mm.
So if you're going to do something and stay static, you know, that's your choice.
Mm.
Yeah, but anything I do, you know, up now and in the future,
mm.
I try and elevate. I try. It doesn't mm. always happen. And most of the time it don't happen. Let's get it right. But, you know, I've got to a level now where I'm quite comfortable in what I'm doing.
Mm.
You know, I don't just go out and paint for the sake of painting.
Mm.
To me, half of that's a waste of time, you know, but that's me.
Mm.
Yeah, I try and make everything good. So, you know, I'm putting, every time I paint, I'm putting my name to it. Yeah. You know, Bap style, whatever. It's
upholding a level of integrity yeah. to what you do when you yeah. do it.
You know, so yeah, people might expect sometimes you rock up and you think, oh, fucking hell, he's going to come up and drop something bad. It may not work that way, but I want to try and drop something to a certain level. I have to, I can't look back in 5 years' time, 10 years' time and think, yeah, I went out and I spent X amount of hours on that piece and it was poor.
But your levels are determined on the basis of the last piece you've done, when to a lot of us, and I say a lot of us, your levels are just like fucking up there. It's just like, what do you mean? What do you mean you thought that was all right?
It was all right. It was all right, bro. You know what I mean?
It's a little again, bonkers.
Because I look at what I'm doing, you mm. know, and... I try and, oh God, there's a level. Mm. In my head, there's a level.
Mm.
Yeah, and I know if I don't achieve it, you know, and then I look at it and think, shit, I've just wasted, you know, 6-7 hours doing a piece. Because I say, for me, it's a day out. You know what mm. I mean? It'll be the same when I'm in like a nursing home or something.
Mm.
If I can get out to go and paint, it's mm. a day out.
Mm. It's a day out. And yeah, I must go into this actually, because I was with somebody, I forget their name. Please forgive me. But we got into the analogy of fishing. And when you're in a Hall of Fame and you're piecing, it's like, it's the act, it's the activity, it's the meditation of it all. It's the zen. And it's like going fishing sometimes.
Mm.
It's like, just to be away from the bullshit.
Yeah, it's an escape. It's a massive, you know, it's, you know, everything that goes on in your life, you know, I mean, there's always, you need somewhere to escape.
We're talking about Hall of Fame specifically here, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah, you need somewhere to escape. And you know, whether you're painting at Hall of Fame, we'll talk about Hall of Fame.
Yes,
but
I know where he's going with that.
I know where he's going with that. But we'll get there. Give him a minute.
I know you see me. I've got the bat.
Yeah, you got it. But it's like, you know, you need that escape.
Mm.
And I say, that's why I say, like, I don't care, man. People say, oh, what, that took you 6-7 hours? I'm like, yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. I don't care.
How many cans do you take to Hall of Fame to perfect this thing?
Well, hold up. All right. You're still pushing me there, aren't you? Yeah, you're still pushing me there. Right. There, listen, yeah. I will travel with like 20, 30 cans of paint, man.
20, 30.
Yeah, whether I've got a colour scheme already sorted, I will still travel that amount of paint. Reason being, I might get there and just think, you know what, no, I'm going to change what I'm doing. I may have the outline, but I'll change my colour scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Like border, whatever, you fill in a certain scheme. Because the worst thing for me is that you turn up somewhere and you're taking a certain amount of paint and you're standing and you're thinking, oh yeah, that pink would have gone bad in there or that colour would have gone bad in there. And you ain't got it.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, I'll just travel with enough cans. Cans I'm never going to use.
Mm.
Bit backbreaking and that, but you know what I mean? That's how I work.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't work for everyone.
Because you want the best.
I want the best at the time. Mm. Yeah. Moving on to your... He's got me there. Moving on to your like halls of fame.
Yeah,
right?
How do you feel about that?
Right. Personal opinion, there are no halls of fame. Halls of fame died a long time ago. In other countries, maybe, but here, London, I don't know about up north or whatever, but for me, there are no halls of fame. None. You know, halls of fame basically turned into somewhere to paint, and that's as simple as that. You know, you know, for me, rocking up to a hall of fame, you know, back then, you used to have to have something about you. You used to be able to go in there and drop a burner. Yeah, and that's all done. That's gone. When people say about Trellick Hall of Fame or this Hall of Fame, it's done.
So let's we'll break this into, we'll compartmentalize this, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get into these dynamics. The Hall of Fames were back in the day. Tell me how dangerous they were, and talk to me about what differentiates that level,
you know what,
from now to then.
I couldn't tell you how dangerous they were because I wasn't there.
Okay.
Yeah. But through stories, you had to have some stature about you.
Mm.
Yeah, so you either used to be, to me, you used to sort of have to be sort of big in the game and you can piece.
Mm.
Yeah, or you were just one of them cats that had stature and no one's going to kind of really fuck with you, really. You know what I mean? That's how I see it. But again, over time, you know, that changed. And, you know, like I said, Hall of Fame's just turning somewhere to paint. Anyone can just rock up there, drop a piece, and go over, like, proper good pieces with really substandard work.
Yeah, I feel that.
You know what I mean?
Nothing worse than someone takes out a piece and it's like, what, you've just done a dub?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. You know, back in the day, I've seen people get beat up for going over a corner of a piece. Yeah.
Talk to me about that. So what, we're just the side of a...
Just a corner, didn't even just like the border of a piece, a little bit like that. You went over my piece, what?
Hmm.
Yeah, corner of it.
Because they don't know you. They don't know you and you've just...
That weren't me.
Oh, no.
That weren't me.
No, you know what I mean? It's not your operate on this podcast.
You know, it was, you know, I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
People, even stains on drains. I've heard people saying, yeah, what, you went over my stains? What the...
Because there's a risk element to it. You can't just be...
I'm telling you, it happens,
all the space
bro.
In the
it
world.
Happens. People went over stains. You know, I mean, you had to do what you had to do, but... I've seen people get, you know, violated for going over people's stains.
Really?
Yeah. So walls now, you know, I said, people...
Do you think that's still applicable now, though? Like, on a transportation level?
Not on trains, no.
No.
Because, you know, there ain't no stains on trains.
No.
You know what I mean? But even trackside, the same thing, you know. Illegal walls, the same thing. People, like, yeah, they tell you, oh, yeah, it's a legal spot. But funny thing is, right?
Mm.
Someone will go over a piece, a legal spot. Yeah, fuck it, I'm going over it. Just do it, bam, there you go. The same person would moan about someone going over their piece.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like, hold up, you've gone over something fucking wicked and, what, someone's gone over you with a weak piece, probably weaker than yours, or even better than yours, and you want to have beef with them over that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hold up, what's kind of happening here? You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Nah, there's people who are like... Graph goes in a certain way, man.
Mm.
It really, really does.
No, it's well observated. Well, good observation. I mean, like, and again, we're not alluding to anyone or anything or scenarios. You know, life happens and things are, you know, things play out the way they do. And whenever you're listening and watching this, it bears no relevance to any circumstances. But it's very true what you say. And I think what you're suggesting holds true in that come correct
yeah.
in graph because over time you're setting a standard. And that standard, particularly in a Hall of Fame, although quote-unquote legal, it still needs to be held
yeah.
to the highest level possible.
Hall of Fame, it's called a Hall of Fame for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's about standards, as you said. Yeah. It's about standards, having certain standards to go there. So yeah. when you people are rocking up and just doing, you know, a 20-minute two-colour, I'm not even going to say 20-minute two-colour fade, it's just a 20-minute bosh-bosh, you know, and they're out. It drops the level. So all of a sudden, people are rocking up after that and thinking, well, you know what, I'm just going to come in here and smash out something in a half hour.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And then before you know it, there's a load of whack pieces in there, because that's really what it is. You know what I mean? So you've gone from somewhere that there was those top quality pieces to like nothing. It's just a mess.
Got to really think about it. Like if you were to do the world, if the world's end existed, which is a formidable, you know, piece of art history in the Trellick, for instance, to do something over that, you really got to think your production skills. You've yeah. really got to really... So if the bar is already high,
yeah.
what do you think the best... Because you were saying about 20, 30 cans, that's you. That's you on a
normal
good day.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but what standards do you think we need to set to make the best... I mean, we're talking predominantly, you know, the Southeast region, because, you know, this is where we're at. Comment below, all my Sheffield crew, my Nottingham crew, my Bristol crew, my Brighton crew, come on, Manchester. But for setting standards as a whole, what do you think? What do you think the best... What planning, what do you think needs to happen?
Look, there are certain writers out there still now are, you know, they're coming with levels, and their levels are consistently mm. on a good level.
Mm.
But the thing is, it's gone so far now that it's what sort of comes behind them don't really care. Again, it's just about doing a wall.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Where, as I say, I can speak for myself. You know, I'll rock up anywhere, I'll rock up, and I'm representing. Mm. You know, I'm representing myself. Mm. You know, whoever else is with me, you know what I mean? But it's about me. Mm. 10, 15 years' time, you're going to say, yeah, there's a back piece. Yeah, that piece was whatever. You know mm. what I mean? Whether it's good, bad, if you liked it, didn't like it, whatever. You know what I mean? But I'm representing me. Mm. So I try and keep my levels higher. Mm. But it's other people coming along and saying, ah, fuck it, yeah, that wall's this, that, and the other. They won't look at it and say, yeah, that wall's bad. Mm. They'll just come up and say, you know what, fuck it, I'm going over it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that's where we're at. But this has taken time to get here. You know, I'm going to say we let it happen. You know, Graf let it happen.
Mm.
So that's why I say that there's no halls of fame.
Mm.
You know, I'll give you an example, right? I was painting up in Uxbridge.
Mm.
Now, I already had a piece on the wall. I was doing another one with a couple of boys. A couple of guys turned up. Now, I got a piece a bit further along down the wall. Guy comes and said, can I go over your piece? Yeah, exactly, bro. I gave him that look like... I just sort of looked at him and I thought, right, let me take it. I'll keep it on a level and just say, listen, bro, if your piece is going to be better than mine, by all means, go over it. I left it at that.
Really?
Yeah, left it at that. If it's going to be better than my piece, go over it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not being greedy because I want two pieces on the wall.
Mm-mm.
But because I've come from that era of, you know, if you're going to do something better...
Impress me.
Go over, yeah.
go ahead.
Go over it.
Yeah.
But if you're going to drop something whack on my piece, I'm going to be a bit disappointed with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So it that's where...
It sets the bar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Go on then, do it.
Crack on.
Yeah. You better be fucking good.
Do your thing.
Come on, pull out his knife and get... Let's get out and get real.
Well, you know, no, I would have probably dogged it in the end.
Yeah,
But that's what I'm saying. That's the mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it's a legal wall.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is. It's just a wall, but you know what I mean? But that's the mentality of people like, yeah, just rock up, paint over anything.
Mm.
I've had someone rock up. I've done a piece on the Sundays I think the Monday. Someone's rocked up and done a piece right in the middle of my piece. Didn't even take it all out. Just done it right in the middle. It happens. This is where we are now. It happens, yeah? So I won't complain about that. All I sort of said, I posted up and said, this is what we've come to. This is what we've let Graf get to.
Mm.
You know, and someone commented on there, jumped on there, right? And this was what, last year or the year before this was? Someone jumped on there and commented, said, yeah, you should stop moaning about it. Go out and do some illegal stuff. So I was like, you know what? I'm not one of them people that just get aggy about stuff.
Mm.
I just brought it back and, yeah, you check your history, bro. That's what I put. Check your history.
Mm.
Then tell me about, you know, I said, I've done my legal shit all like 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You know what he come back? Said, yeah, you're safe, bro.
Mm.
You know, I ain't causing no beef with no one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, you know, do a little history lesson. But that's what I'm saying. People get into graph now and think that graph just started. Mm. Graph's been here for a while. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Graph's been here for a while. Tarmac has been laid over the grass when graph was started. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And actually, playing devil's advocate, because we like to do that here, a lot of people in the heat of this conversation that we're chatting about, and respectfully so, they'll turn around and say, why even focusing on Hall of Fames? You know, get out there and do something.
Yeah. I've done my bit, man. You know what I mean? I said earlier, I've done my little bit. I threw my little two pennies in there, right?
Yeah.
I've done my training, I've done my track size, I've done my insides. Yeah. I've done my bit.
Yeah.
I'm too old now. I'm too lazy now.
Yeah.
You know, I just about put pen to paper.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that's for you guys to get out there and do stuff. But, you know,
figure it out. Yeah.
Think back. You know, this hasn't just started. It's been here for years.
Mm.
Yeah. There's people out there who have probably been writing before I started. And they're still doing stuff now. Respect to them. But it's sort of like the new generations.
Mm.
Just think graph started just before they did, or they started graph.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it's not about that, man. You need to sort of just have a look. You don't have to look back far. You don't have to do loads of research.
Mm.
But have a little look at it and think, you know what? Right, these boys have been around for a while.
I think there's some really good stuff going on in the Hall of Fames at the moment. I've got to say, like, big up to Stockwell. And everything that's going on.
Places to paint, man.
Yeah, yeah. Really? You think so? Even that?
I still think so, yeah.
Really?
I'm not going to knock anyone, but again, I just don't think they're just places to paint. I don't think they're halls of fame.
But do you think that's like you say, you did say this, it's what we've come to, but with the powers that be and people's general interest in graph getting bigger, there is a popularity, and where else could people do it? I mean, we're not talking about graffiti writers here. We're talking about spray can art, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to be anywhere else.
You're limited. Yeah. You're quite limited now, really. You know, the spaces are sort of reduced over time.
Mm.
You know, and obviously East is just like kind of like the main hub now, really, isn't it? So, yeah, again, it's one of those things, you know, but I still think that, you know, there's no halls of fame.
No.
There isn't, you know, and I'm not crying out for halls of fame. I'll paint. If someone invites me to paint somewhere, I'll paint.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you want to call it a hall of fame, listen, that's up to you, you know what I mean? It's just another wall to me, you know, and I'll go there, I'll do my thing, I'll go home, put my feet up. You know what I mean? Drink a cup of tea and I'm sweet.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Comment below. Moving on, though, you have cut your chops and you have done your graft and you are that guy. Let's talk about Hooch. Shut!
Right, you pulled that one out of the bag. Jeez. Boy.
Because not a lot of people know this, do they?
No, they don't. I think... Yeah, I think after the early days and after, you know, a few...
For those of you that are listening and not watching, you should see the face on this, right?
Yeah, that's you pulled that one out, man. Shit. I started writing Hooch probably about 95, I think. And literally, it was just like one of them sort of undercover ones, really. I didn't, you know, just... Having that, is that a drink called Hooch? And basically, I just pulled it out and I was like, you know what? I ain't writing BAP, I ain't writing this or anything else I was undercover with for a little while.
Mm.
And I just started writing that, you know what I mean? And it was just fun. It just, I don't know, it kept me in the game, really. Mm. I don't say in the game, but it's just, I was still out there, you know what I mean? Where I thought, I stopped in the early 90s, sort of 96, 7, 8, wherever it was, where we got to, maybe 2000 actually, probably longer than I thought. I'd done a few bits writing Hooch, you know what I mean? And I don't know, it was there. It was a name, I put it up.
Mm.
That's the only thing I can, you know, say about it, really. There was situations before what we spoke about, but, I kept myself in the game.
And Ambush as well.
Yeah, that's a different one. I started writing Ambush, again, 90, 1993, maybe.
That's a little earlier than this. See, this is where I get... See, me and my mind, the timelines just merge.
It's about...
Crazy.
It's in your timeline. Well, mine's a bit messed up, and I was the one who wrote it.
That was what I was doing it.
Probably about 93, but that was, again, that was a another moment, man. Another moment for a year, maybe.
Mm.
Maybe about a year, just... going out there and, you know, that bug's still in you, man. You know what I mean? You know, where I thought, yeah, I'm dead, done in the water, man. Mm. I'm just floating about. But, yeah, started writing Ambush for a piece and, yeah, just started smacking up Uxbridge, basically. they're fun times, you know.
I don't know how, like, as you get older as an artist, how you built of steel... these graph writers, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how you walk it, jump it. I don't know how you stand there for ages painting it. Your muscles, like, there must be some level of muscle memory because, like you say, the mind don't want to stop. You just, right?
Yeah, you get used to it, man. But saying that, I've done a piece a couple of months back.
Mm.
Now, I've always said, yeah, I'll keep my feet on the ground, man, but I was on my own and I had an outline which I'd done just a... done it at home and I was like, yeah, you know what, yeah, I'll throw that up. So yeah, ladder time. Yeah, 6 or 7 hours up and down a ladder, man. Yeah, I'm getting old now. I'm getting old. I was cool when I was doing it. Yeah, this is great. Everything's coming out sweet, man. This piece is big.
Till the evening. Thing.
Yeah, got home, sat down. Half hour later, bro, cramp kicked in. You know what I mean? I was like, nah, you know what? I ain't doing that again.
Really?
I'm not doing that. Yeah, up a couple of steps and do my thing, but up the ladder. Nah, I'm not doing that again, man. That's when they said to me, you know what? You're old now, bruv. You're old. You know what I mean? You don't need to be doing that.
If I get the impression, like, with them trackside things and again, the variables, we're not actually talking about on the tracks necessarily. We're talking about where the public can see. But you've still got to make... You guys are like homing pigeons, man. That's the impression I get. Like, how do you even know where something... You've got to make some serious attempts.
Listen, I respect it. Some of the stuff I see, and it was just like, well, man's got a ladder, he's hung off this to do that.
Yeah.
Respect to you, because that's just not me.
Yeah.
That's not me. I'm not doing that. You know, I'll go to a legal wall, I'll go up a couple of runs of the ladder just so I can reach the top, but I'm quite a big guy anyway. Mm-hmm. But if I got a little bit higher, I'm cool with that. But yeah, but I'll see, you know, I'll paint with a couple of people recently, and they're up this ladder, and they're pulling off some serious shit off this ladder, and I'm like, you're fucking good.
Mm.
That's the talent just to be up there, man.
Because you're so close to the...
That's what I'm saying.
Really close to the wall.
Yeah, a man's pulling off... He pulling off some serious shit up there. And I think, you know, I'll go up the ladder, do a couple of lines. I think, yeah, I'll come down with the ladder. And my man's doing whole shit, leading way off the ladder, doing this.
Yeah,
it's mad, bro.
But that's an age thing, man. And again, you hold the crown for that. And I'll say that, all right?
Crown?
Truth is, though, The thing that I think a lot of people, a lot of punters, the mops, member of public, how's that? I think for a lot of people, it's like, how do you keep a sense of perspective? On and off, or off a lab? Because to a lot of people, that when you see it pass on a side of a track, on you on a train, you're looking at it and you're just like, wow, I can see that clear as day, but how the fuck did that ever get to that size? How did you ever figure that out, being so close or to the narrowest of margins? Man.
You know, it's something that you get used to, man.
Mm.
You know, you know, once you're in it and you know, I don't say you know what you're doing, but you just know, you get a feel, you know, you got a certain space, you feel that space, you know what I mean? So you know, up here, you know what's got to fit in there, you know, in a way, what balance is right.
Mm.
You know, so that's, you know, for everyone it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think that, I don't know, you just get used to it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it's hard to explain.
Sense of space, environment. I mean, that's what makes it, regardless of the actual activity and paint, that's what makes the best graffiti, right? It's just knowing your environment and being aware.
Being comfortable, man.
Really?
You know what you're good at, what your capabilities are.
Yeah.
Again, I can only speak for myself, you know, and I can't speak for other people, but, you know, I know what my capabilities are. And, you know, as I said, I've got a large wingspan, man, so if I rock up to a wall...
I'm taking that shit.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to fill that up. I'm going to fill that up. The amount of times I said, yeah, I'm only going this high, next, you know, outline's way up there, you know.
thank God you bought those 30 cans, exactly, kind of thing, yeah.
Exactly. So it's just knowing where you are, man. Knowing where you're doing, you know. As I was saying, sometimes it's good just to paint with just a handful of people. Because the more people you got there, the less space you got. Yeah. He said, don't get me wrong, I'll paint with loads of different people, yeah? And I will, and I always will. But to have masses of people painting with you, it reduces your space.
Mm.
Now, you know, I like to generally try and have a little gap between each piece, but it doesn't always work like that. So there's only overlapping stuff, and you might think, yeah, my bit of 3D was going to go in there, and that bit of 3D kind of makes your piece on that side.
Mm.
So it's good to just have...
the option of space.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, that one at Trellick the other week, man.
Oh yeah, picture now. That was. It's still there. It's held true. It's held true to what you've said as a commitment to making the best possible, because it's still there.
I'm shocked with that.
Yeah,
I'm proper shocked with that, because I didn't expect that to be there.
The Trellick jam that we're talking about was fan fucking fantastic. It was
great
the
day.
Kings were in effect, like mad heads, and contrary to what we were saying about quality and standards, for sure, that was a jam to remember. And since then, I don't know, I just feel like there's a level up that's gone in there. And you're still up there, bro.
That's a sign of respect, or whatever you want to call it, or no one wants to paint in that corner. I don't know.
It's just a beautiful thing to see. Mia, big up Mia, KTC Mia.
Yeah.
Another character that I think falls in line with your... the generation of graffiti style, technique, and method. I'd love to see you guys do a piece together.
Listen, you know what? The amount of times I said to me, yeah, we're going to link, we've got a link. And it's probably on me or anything that I just haven't done it yet.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? But yeah, definitely.
Colorways, clever use of colors. And you mentioned three, before we were just gassing before. The three magic number, as in terms of technique and in paint wise, is that not, it's not exclusive. I understand that there's contrary to put, yeah. You have your own secret ingredients, but that was certainly something that you said that I thought.
I think for me, you know, I've got to have a balance in the pieces I do. You know, I think you know you sort of, when you, them kind of feels what we're talking about. It's just like right, there's a bit there, a bit over there.
Mm.
You know, maybe four, a little bit down there as well. But it's having that. And then making sure everything kind of blends in.
So three being...
Three, maybe four.
Mm.
You know, sometimes you might get a bit overcrowded. Mm. Again, it depends what you're doing on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I said, for me, I got ways of painting, which some are lazy. And then, like the one we're talking about, it was like, right, I know what I'm doing here.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't always work like that. Sometimes I get to have a beer and it's like, yeah, I knew what I was going to do. Mm. Yeah, that's all kind of skipped, you know what I mean? So... yeah, I drop it in a certain way and then just add my little add-ons, you know, again, balance my schemes, try and balance my schemes and then move forward from there. But with that piece there, it was like, yeah, I get invited to come and paint these things now. I'm representing.
Mm.
Yeah, they said it was a West London jam representing old school West. I represented.
Mm, you know, you did.
I'm not going to come along and just come up and rock a half-hearted thing, man. No, there was just no way of that. Now, I'm not saying my piece was the best there, because I don't believe it is. Be quite honest, I don't really see many of the others.
But your head was in it. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. When you come along, I was in there, bro. I was banging there. Mm. You know what I mean? And it was like, right, this is going to be a statement. I've got to make a statement, because, you know, I'm putting my name to that, literally, as we spoke earlier.
Yeah.
You know, this is me. You know, so when I walk away from that, people say, oh, yeah, that back piece was fresh.
Mm.
Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but I was happy when I walked away.
Mm. You know, it's like when people kind of intervene and you see your head's in the piece, because I guess some of it could be defined as a bit of a respite. But if you're in the zone, what's it like when there's other writers there or other people there that may distract?
You know, most of the time I do zone out.
Do you?
Yeah. There's been plenty of times in the past where, you know, I've got the headphones in. There's no music, nothing playing, man. They're just in.
Tricks. Yeah.
No, yeah, headphones are just in, yeah, you know, and you're just painting away because you don't want to get disturbed. You might... There was one guy, like, that Trellick jam, yeah?
Yeah.
He was, like, buzzing around me, like, shit. I'd fly around, shit, bro. I don't know what he wanted. But he was just coming up with some stupid shit, man. And I was like, in my head, it's like, you know, I just want to turn around and say, look, mate, just bounce, bro.
Yeah,
you're doing my head in now, you know what I mean? Like, I've met him somewhere before, I don't know. Mm. You know, it's hard to remember everyone that you meet.
Mm.
But he was kind of like, me and him are buddies, and we kind of grew up together and shit. I don't know this dude. But he was kind of like, at one point, he done something, and I thought to myself, are you like 5 years old?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. It's just like, in my head, it's like, just fuck off.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know what I mean? I'm doing my thing.
I'm here to work, God damn it.
Yeah, sorry about that, bro. Yeah, you know, yeah, you know, he was just annoying.
Mm.
You know, the rest of the people come up, tap, yeah, it's safe, blah, 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 chat away. You know, then they go about their business, you know what I mean? And don't get wrong, sometimes people, random people just come up, start chatting, and it'll be a good point where it's sort of taken me away. It's brought me off the piece where I kind of needed to do that. You know what I mean? But yeah, there's some people...
It's like a fag break, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just kind of resets your thinking a little
Take a step away, have a little walk, step back and look at your piece and think, right, okay, this is where I've got to be. Like, you know, even though someone's talking to you, you're looking at your piece like... Yeah, I'm doing that next. I'm doing that. Yeah. Oh, what'd you say?
Yeah. Oh, dude. It's the same with music and anything. Anyone that's got like a real heavy, a high level of concentration on a thing, I would say that was the case in a lot of instances, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, you just do your thing, man. You know what I mean? Just, like I said, represent. And, you know, it's on you what you're doing, you know. And I say people turn up and do their thing.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to represent to the best of my ability. Every time, if possible. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Respect, man.
My guy, thank you so much for coming on.
And having me up in here, bro.
Let this be part of the tapestry of the evolution of BAPS, man.
That's my bit, bro.
Yeah.
That's my bit. And, you know, listen, respect to you for what you're doing, bro. Well,
thank you, brother. Respect I appreciate it. It's been great having you on. Lovely, lovely day. Ladies and gentlemen, BAPS, TBS inside the place. You know how we do. Big shout out to everyone closely associated to this gentleman, and creating the tapestry that we keep on forging away and cutting through on the Killer Killer podcast. You stay lucky, people, right? Don't talk to anyone I wouldn't. You know what I mean? Thank you very much, Babs.
Respect.
Stay lucky.
Yeah, you
easy. Peace.